Good afternoon, Muskegon. This is Tony Williams.
And I am Chauncey Williams. And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success. How you doing today, Tony?
I'm good. I'm good, Chauncey. I survived the snow for the week, which I guess we can't complain about because we didn't have much snow in December, so they're making up for it in January.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's here. You can't say it's bad. Don't complain about it. It's got to let it run its course.
You know, and what's sort of ironic is that Monday was the Martin Luther King celebration.
Right? Yes, sir.
And there's only, you know, not all schools in the county, you know, acknowledge it. And it's ironic that it turned out to be a snow day.
God.
Okay.
God day. You know,
if you don't want to celebrate it or recognize it, you still going to get the same treatment everybody else did. It's a day off.
That's right. I really enjoy how the radio station does this every year, PAN 103.7. They run the all-day events of, like, speeches and Martin Luther King's life. You know, his life was revolved around the Civil Rights Movement because he was a pivotal character in some of those events.
Absolutely, right.
You know, and it's good to have a radio station that takes whole heart in that and do those things. I really want to give them two thumbs up, pats on the back, two claps, and a lot of love to that brother because I look forward to it every year, all the time. Some of the songs that's played, some of the old school songs from the 50s and 60s, some of the events that happened and how pivotal they were because we're living in a time where a generation, somehow they're out of touch. Out of touch and out of context. They don't understand the struggle, you know, of what really happened. And I know we're here for financial reasons. But once upon a time, a brother could not talk about no stocks.
We couldn't even be on the radio. Even we weren't allowed to have the knowledge,
or let alone teach people about money.
Absolutely,
I mean, African Americans and minorities. I mean, it's just Martin Luther King paid a lot. I mean, for everything I do, I just see that if it weren't for Dr. King, I wouldn't be where I'm at today and how I'm progressing.
Yeah, a lot of doors would not be open, and I couldn't agree with you more about PA and the staff here at 103.7 The Beat. You know, trying to enlighten our community to what, you know, some of the things happened in the past that a lot of our kids may not have been aware of.
Yeah, it said, I don't know why I'm quoting this again, but Ray Lewis says this, and I see how Martin Luther King is. He said, you want three people in your life around you all the time, inspired, excited, and grateful. And every time I come into this radio station, I see people that's happy to see me and proud to be around them. I'm grateful for the situation, like people like you and everything. And that's what Dr. King was about. Inspired, excited, and grateful for everything that happened in your life. So I appreciate everything that they're doing.
Yep. That's profound, Chauncey. And, you know, I take my hat off to the folks here at 103.7 The Beat because they're allowing us to do what we do as well.
That's right.
So that's another good thing and another good reason for folks to support this radio station and listen and contribute in any way you can to make sure that this radio station stay around.
That's right. Amen. Man, you got some good raves. I saw some guys. I've been talking to some people. They loved the last show we had, Brother Williams.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, keep on pouring it on about those investments. Some people actually researched it up and actually opened up Trader King accounts. We might have to contact them and say we deserve a sponsorship.
I think we should.
Yeah, we mentioned their name, and people have been seeking them already.
That's good. Yeah, I had the same experience where people did tell me the same thing, Chauncey, that they're not really, you know, knowledgeable or avid involved folks in the market, but they do want to hear about it in a way that they can understand it.
That's right.
You know, sometimes if you watch the CNN and
go too
fast. Some of those, they're over the top, you know.
Yep.
So we try to break it down so folks understand it, and just so you have working knowledge of what it means.
Yeah. So,
you know, and a caveat to that is this week was a extremely volatile week in the stock market, and it happens. It happens. 3,000 points basically, the market dropped. A correction in the market is considered 10%.
That's not that much.
No, so if the market was at 18,000 and it dropped 10%, that's like 1,800. But it dropped 3,000. So that's a major, major correction. You know, there's so many things that go into the market and how it reacts. From what I can understand and gather from research is that two of the main components to this correction was China.
Oh, they always a factor.
And the Middle East. Okay. So because when we look around us in the United States, I think we can feel somewhat confident that our economy is growing. It's okay. We don't hear about a lot of unemployment. You know, employment now is, you know, below 5% and has been there for the last 2-3 years and seems to be holding constant. The auto industry, you know, they're on their way to record sales.
They're rebounding. Okay. I can see how the vehicles that they're even trying to produce right now, and even with gas prices, that things are going towards positive change in our area, but in our region. But then that's also bring things for a word I don't even want to say.
Okay.
You know, I don't even want to bring that, because when you see that start changing, that shift, and you said China and Middle East, you already know what it sound like.
Right, because the market is so globalized now.
Yeah.
Okay, in the past, it was a saying that when the United States sneezed, Detroit caught a cold.
All the time.
Which meant that if there was any downturn in the gross national product, the auto industry were some of the first ones to feel it because people stopped buying automobiles. Therefore, you start laying folks off, unemployment goes up, and it's just a ripple effect because of all the other suppliers in the state of Michigan. But that didn't happen this time. Okay, which is a strange phenomenon for those that understand economics in the United States. It's because of foreign events that created the stock market correction because we're so heavily invested in those markets. Okay? In 25 years, this is the slowest growth that China has experienced. Okay? In 25 years. So therefore, the folks in the market is saying that at some point in time there's going to be a ripple effect, and they're just kind of adjusting. When you devalue the stock, you're basically taking it back down to where you think it should be.
That always happens though. That's part of the cycle. It happens. Like, you have a big time where you have large increases, but then they go for so long, then they flatten out, and then it just
world events. You know, 9/11. We saw what happened to the market. It made a huge correction. When we go back even further than the Desert Storm, it had a major correction. You go back to the oil embargo.
That's right.
Okay. All those things affected the stock market
that we have.
Right. Yeah, in a very negative way. So this is a little bit different. And now you look at oil and the price of oil, which is, for us, we've prices we haven't seen in a long time.
That's what I'm talking about.
In the barrel, you know, right now, a barrel of oil costs less than the barrel that it comes in. Okay, the barrel costs more than the actual oil in the barrel.
So if you're somebody that was investing in oil, when it shoot back up, the best time to do is buy right now.
Right.
If you can buy, you can buy.
And trust me, over time, it will happen, okay? But there's a lot of things that are at play that have affected the world market for oil. One is overproduction. Two is that a lot of countries now are producing oil because at one point it was so expensive, it became advantageous for those countries
offshore
to drill
drilling
their own oil.
Yep.
Okay, so now there's this huge gluttony of inventory of oil. It's just the law of supply and demand. The more you have, the less you can charge for it. So it is only a matter of time before that comes back around. But when you look at what the effect had on the stocks of the American companies, you think a 3,000-point drop would mean that some of these stocks are probably half of the value that they were before, prior to the correction. But that's not true, okay? And I had brought a couple examples over based on what we did 2 weeks ago as far as a comparison. And one was 2 weeks ago prior to the drop in the market. For instance, Walmart back on December 31st.
Okay.
$61.30. As of today, Walmart is $61.80. It's like there was no real impact. Actually, it went up. So if you owned Walmart stock, you didn't get hurt by the correction.
Wow. Okay.
Take a look at Apple. Take a look at Apple. The same previous date, back on the 31st, Apple was $1.05 a share. And as of today, after the correction, it's $95. So that's like $10. And when you look at the $105 that it was selling at, it's not a huge correction, again, with Apple.
You say it lost 3,000 points?
3,000. When you look at it now, the dollar is at 15,000 points, and the high was at 18,000.
Wow.
So, you know, you would think that, man, there's stocks out here that's half the value that they were prior to it, but it's not. It's weird. Pandora, which we talked about, auto industry using Pandora in their automobiles.
All their cars, Ford and GM.
Back on the 31st, it was $13 a share. Now it's $9. So it has lost some value, but not what you would think. Comcast, $56.43. But as of today, it was $53.98.
So $3.
Yeah, not even $3. Actually, almost just $2. Microsoft, $55.48 a share. Today it was $50. Okay? So like a $5 drop.
Now typically you wouldn't see that though.
No, you wouldn't see a huge, that's a major correction, but still, when you're looking at the way the market corrected, you would think that it would be down into the 40s, low 40s, high 30s. AT&T, $34.41 back on December 31st. Today, $34.14. Hardly any effect on it. Just do a couple more here. Of course, we always like to look at Google. Google probably took a bigger hit than most of them, only because the share of stock was $758. Today it's $688. So again, there's still a correction. General Motors, $34 a share, and today it's at $30 a share. So it lost 4 points. Not a bad buy in my opinion. McDonald's, $118. Back on December 31st, and the day is at 117. So there was a lot of stocks that did make huge corrections, but a number of them really didn't get hurt as bad as you would think they would be. Okay, so that's what's strange about this correction. You don't really see it. It's not reflected in the individual stocks per se versus what we see as a whole. And something interesting I ran across while I was doing some research today. Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers.
You've been around a long time. Weight Watchers, right?
Yeah, I do. That's, man.
Been around a long time.
Man, that's.
And I just noticed, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I seen Oprah
on Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers commercial. And I thought, wow, that's different. So I kind of piqued my interest.
What was the pitch?
Hey, Weight Watchers is what you need to do in order to lose weight. Look at me, all right? 2016, my goal is to lose weight, and we know she's done that quite often.
Yep.
But come to find out that she's became a major shareholder in Weight Watchers. You know, we know she's a billionaire, right? She purchased 10% of Weight Watchers. Now she sits on a board of directors.
Yep, 10%.
And what happened was she bought this stock at $12.53. To close, the stock was up $17.79.
Wow.
Just by her coming on board with Weight Watchers, this stock almost doubled in price.
People got word of that, and they was like, hey. So that's those extra things that attribute to making a change. If you can get some inside information like that, like I'm about to Oprah call you. But some lady got in trouble for that some years ago.
Oh.
Inside information.
Yeah, a girl. She the cook on TV. Yes. Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Right.
So like say if Oprah like, Tony, I'm about to help out Wage Watchers. You like, take all my savings out and buy all the stock. So that's inside information. So she didn't tell nobody and made that move and people bought as soon as she signed up.
Yeah, I think they said just the purchase of that alone, she made like $300 million.
She made after buying some.
She bought 10% of Weight Watchers. It didn't give me the number of actual shares, but by her purchasing that, and the stock went up so high that she made $300 million. They were in debt. They had a little debt going on. But nothing to the degree that distract, you know, that she didn't want to get involved. So, but that's amazing how a brand, actually, like Oprah and Weight Watchers can move a particular stock.
Can make somebody else a millionaire.
Yeah.
That's what they can do.
Yeah, so if you were a Weight Watcher shareholder on that day and not knowing that she was going to buy it, you probably made quite a bit of money, too. So, for those that see Oprah on TV now, you know that she's just not a supporter of Weight Watchers. She's a major investor because she owns 10% of the company. Very smart move on her part. So, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to do today was recap on the stock market, give folks an opportunity to digest some of this information and not be afraid. Okay, these things happen, like you said, Chauncey. It's a cycle. It happens all the time. And in due time, the market will come back. And, people will recoup anything that they may have lost in this recent correction.
Can't be scared of failure. You gotta be willing to try. Especially, right. Especially when you got a chance to be able to make a lot of money out of it and just doing the right thing with it.
Yeah, and when you look at, again, like I say, in this country, the auto industry is really key to the growth, gross national product, because this country is predicated on the automobile. There's a lot of things that are tied to the strength of this country in the auto industry. And that's why it was so key when Obama made the decision to go in and bail these industries out, contrary to some of the other politicians. But I think he knew the importance of these industries to this country.
Yeah, because I know his initiative was really to get that rail system up.
Yeah, and there's still quite a bit of activity in Washington to move this country to a higher level with rail transit like a lot of countries in Europe do.
Yes, but you know, that goes far back to Ford. You know, Ford blocked that a long time ago. He said, we just make a highway and I'll give you a cheaper car.
Right.
So he knew how to keep his industry going. Him, Firestone, and Carnegie, they knew. That's the collaboration that they formed. And they're like, we'll do it. We'll supply. Then the factory came. Then it was an industry for jobs. So it's like, you don't need a rail system. We got you. We don't need subways in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have no mass transportation system because of the industry being created here.
No, not in Detroit. It's not. No.
That's why Michigan is an automobile place because they're like, there ain't going to be no mass transit here. There ain't going to be no subways. And, you know, you got the L train and the little M train in Detroit.
Yeah,
but they don't have mass production like Chicago. It was coming.
Subways.
They stopped it.
New York. L's.
Yeah, they stopped that. It's like, no, you're going to use your car.
Well, this country has a love affair with the automobile, okay? And, yeah, there will be certain places where mass transit is the right decision and the right thing to do. But overall, this country will always continue to purchase and love automobiles. Just go to major cities and you can see it. With that, we do need transportation, but folks will always buy General Motors, Fords, as well as the other foreign autos as well.
They always trying to get you to buy a new car, too. I know that.
Well, it's become very affordable. You know, my business, I get calls all the time from dealerships where people are there, and it's like, okay, you know, we have one of your customers here purchasing a car, you know, okay, probably get them a used car. Oh, no, They're all 2015s, 2016s.
Yeah, brand new.
Brand new cars, man. And, you know, they're putting on additional shifts over in Detroit, Saginaw, some of those areas where the auto industry is still prevalent.
Because I noticed something else also, Tony. They're making cars where they're giving you, you can get the basic brand all the way up to the souped up LTZ, LT. Yeah. You can get all the bells and whistles, or you can get the same. You can get the same car, but not all the bells and whistles. You just had a body test style.
Yeah,
and not even the same motor. But if you just want that look, we'll get you an affordable look and less accessories. And like you said, the automobile has been a product for years. So anything investing in when it comes to an automobile is a great asset to have.
You know, even though they've had their struggles and their challenges, the American automobile industry, I think, has done a lot better job of producing a product from a safety, quality, dependability standpoint than they did in past years, which allowed a lot of the foreign automakers to take market share because, you know, we just, you know, industry said if we build it, they'll buy it. Yeah. I can remember years ago, it was always the concept about, well, that's a Friday car or that's a Monday car. Those
or
cars.
The weekend. You just drive that car on Sunday to church.
No, that car was built. That car was assembled on a Monday.
Yes, okay? I know what you're talking about. I got it.
And it was assembled on a Friday.
You buy that car on that Friday, your car might not be working there, working right.
So,
don't give me the car made on
on Monday and Friday.
On Friday on first shift when first shift about to get off work. That was made in Detroit. Don't give me that one.
Right. Ford acronym was Fix or Repair Daily. Okay,
man,
but they've come a long way to make a good product because they were one of the ones that did not take the buyout when everybody else was in trouble.
That's right, and now they're rebounding right now, big time.
Yeah, Ford makes a great
Ford,
product.
Right? That's because the Lincoln came back.
Yep,
a lot of vehicles coming back. The trucks are looking pretty good. They even made those new trucks with the aluminum bodies.
Right, the aluminum bodies,
and they're able to still carry, be sturdy and lighter, and still be weather to deal with the winter that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So they was like, look, just let us in. We're going to invest our money in something, and we're gonna grow up out of it. So now they got all profit.
Right. So the only thing we want them to do now is fix the Lions.
Make some aluminum.
Sound like they're working on it.
Make some lighter players, some aluminum frame players. Yeah, you're right. They should have put that money, should have got that money and bought some players. Well, I'm sorry, man. I like the Lions.
Yeah, man. We Lions fans. We still got to have fun. You know, I think the 90-year-old, what is she, Martha Ford? Is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah. She no nonsense. She says this town deserves a winner, and by God, she going to make sure we get one. And she started cleaning house, and things got better. So we'll see. But, yeah, the Lions are still the team that we root for, just like we root for the auto industry in Detroit, because it's so important to the Muskegon economy as well. There's a lot of plants that provide parts for the auto industry.
Even the industry that we live in today in Muskegon, I mean, we're not a major supplier for a whole vehicle, but we provide products.
A lot of plastic products.
Bumpers.
Yeah.
Seats.
Door handles.
Seat belts. Yeah, so,
mirrors.
Yeah, mirrors. So we provide to those industries, in those major car industries. So we're not the subgroup, but we're like the group that we keep it going, like you said, Michigan.
Yeah,
yeah. We're all connected. And when you come in, when you think about an investor, when you buy stock, you are actually helping people out that's working at those places right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're becoming a shareholder.
You're helping somebody keep a job. So when you look at, I don't know about the stock market. Do your research. If you like a company, like I said a couple weeks ago when we started talking about one-on-one before we started talking about it, if you're gonna buy some stock, look what you have on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you wear a certain name brand clothing, and you always buying their clothes and shoes, you like them enough. If you buying it all the time, I can guarantee you there's a million people out there buying it all the time. Like the vehicle you drive, if you're driving Chevy, buy some Chevy stock.
Yeah, buy General Motors stock.
Yeah, buy it.
If you own Ford, Chrysler.
Driving Caddy, you know, General Motors, you got it.
Yeah.
You know, the clothes you wear, the foods you eat. It's a lot of things you can invest in. So you don't have to have everything, but you like, I like this brand. So if you like that brand, it's a million people out there that like that brand. That stock can be worth a lot of money.
Right. And again, it's on sale now because, trust me, it the stock price is low. And give it a year, year and a half, 2 years, the stock price will be back or even higher.
I can remember. Okay. Here's a great example. I forgot for you. I wanted you to pull this stock, but I guess we probably can do it next week before we talk about some other things. One stock that I remember, because I used to coach at an elementary level, and I used to always sponsor my teams. I used to always buy the teams like shoes and jogging suits, and Nike used to always help me out a lot. But one year I got Under Armour to do some stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember it was some years back, and the kids was like, I don't want no Under Armour.
Whoa.
And now the major spokesman for Under Armour is who? Stephen Curry.
Stephen Curry, okay.
So now if I, okay. I bet if I bring out 12 pair of Under Armour shoes, the kids would be in on those Under Armours.
You know
so
they will.
I wonder how much that stock is right now. But I can remember at the time it was really worth nothing.
Right. Yeah, so we'll take a look at that before we shift gears to our next. But again, you know, it's all about the brand.
The brand. Steve Curry, he out there throwing the ball up, just going in the rim. The kids, I got to get them shoes.
Right.
So now everybody getting those shoes.
And was it LeBron signed
almost a billion-dollar deal or something?
It was some ridiculous amount of money. That
$500 million, I think.
It was with Nike.
Yeah.
But it's a good investment for Nike.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of money to us. But when you look at what they will sell over time because of who he is, that's a good investment. Just like with Under Armour with Curry.
Yeah. They're going to bring some shoes out. They're going to bring some shoes out for $500.
Okay. Especially if he can win him a title in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, speaking of that, didn't look good Sunday night, though.
Man.
It didn't look good at all.
Like a JV team going against a college squad.
And they just kept the heat. They just turned the heat up. Golden State didn't take a step back, nothing. They just kept jacking threes.
Yep. But you can look at that. All this stuff is done. This is all financial moves. Him moving back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Dan Gilbert that owns Quicken Loans. Him investing in Detroit heavily with his money, trying to grow that city. So it's all connected. Got LeBron close in Cleveland. So it's just, and those are two areas that's not mirrored, but they're two areas that driven by the auto industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the people that live in Cleveland and Detroit work in the auto industry.
You're absolutely correct.
And their communities are not are not teetering, but they need to be redeveloped because they're the older homes that we used to call the homes, they say called flip mattress. Like somebody sleep in the house for 8 hours.
Right.
You flip the mattress over, and the next man come in off the next shift.
Yeah, sleep hot
in.
Bunks.
Yep, hot bunks. A lot of those homes in those two cities, even our city, we still have some of those old homes that's here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you can look through the front door, you see the back door.
All the way through, yes.
All the way through, you throw a rock, hit everybody in the house. You know, we still got some of those properties around here, and Detroit got a lot of those properties. Cleveland has them. Those are the cities made for those industries, so people can come in and work in those industries. And when you think, what's going on now, it's a trend to build those places back up and people to move in them. So it's a lot of investments that's going towards, like you said, the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and they're going to build more auto plants. They're just going to be more sophisticated. You know, you won't need as many people to operate a state-of-the-art auto plant like you do now. When Ford just first started the assembly line, it was very labor-intense. But through technology, and with advent of computers, you know, you can probably get two people to do the work of four or five.
To build a whole car.
So, but in order to stay current, the automobile industry has to reinvest in those kinds of factories. But along with that come the service industries, too, from a technology standpoint. So those industries will follow the auto industry when it comes to computer analysts.
Information technologies.
Right. Absolutely.
IT. Those IT people are real big. And I try to tell students this all the time, like, learn how to write code, like you say, Microsoft, IBM, those places, Apple, invested in those companies because those companies are the next generation.
That's right.
It's a million jobs out there right now that people are preparing for. The jobs aren't even out there, but the careers are being created through in schools right now. And if you can program and write code and you're investing in that stock, you're going to be able to make a lot of money in the future because that's the industry that's big. Technology, information systems. Yep. People that know how to do that, it's like 5% of the population that knows how to work in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be.
It's growing.
Yeah, that's 5% of the world. That's where all the money is at.
It's growing right now. Yeah, I think Microsoft, you can get certified in all the various applications of Microsoft. So on your resume, you can say, you know, I'm you know, very avid in the Excel or the CAD or whatever product that Microsoft has. Yeah. So, again, that's
HTTP, writing websites and, you know, building websites, that stuff is big. I mean, they having majors now. I can remember even when social media first came out, There's people that's social media specialists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was working for a mortgage company, and I was telling them, I said, we need to get into them social media. This was like almost in like 2003 or 2002. And I think Facebook just hit. And it's like, oh, we don't need that. We make money with flyers, mailing them out. Now everybody's on it.
Nope.
I think I should have went back to school and made it in social media.
Right.
Network marketing.
And, you know, just like we're saying, how the auto industry is going to retool these plants. So the individuals that come into work, they have to be computer literate and be able to adapt and use a computer, because a lot of the work is going to evolve around that. So that application says that you got to have some kind of a skill in how to operate computers versus a wrench.
Yep, technology. So that's the next way to invest in. When you look at technology, like you said, cars. Cars working with pushing a button now.
I mean, you know, all the voice activated text messages, GPS units. It's just unlimitless, the amount of information that's going into these automobiles today. Well, Chauncey, it looks like our time is about up today, but as usual, it normally goes fast when we're having a good time.
That's right.
So, Ms. Geegan, we appreciate listening. Hopefully you find our dialogue entertaining and informative. And hopefully next week at 3 o'clock, you'll join me, Tony Williams, Farmers Insurance.
Chauncey Williams. And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success. If you want to look for us, I'm on Facebook, Credit and Debt Help, and whatdoidonow.biz. Tony is at?
Tony Williams at farmersinsurance.com, located at 752 Pine Street. Phone number is 231-903-0314.
And we are What Do I Do Now at 103.7 The Beat. Thank you.